Audible Inc. presents Lee Kuan Yew, The Grandmaster's Insights on China, the United States, and the World. Interviews and selections by Allison and Robert D. Blackwill with Ollie Wine. Foreword by Henry A. Kissinger. Narrated by Francois Chow and Michael McConaughey. Foreword. I have had the privilege of meeting many world leaders over the past half century. None, however, has taught me more than Lee Kuan Yew, Singapore's first premier and its guiding spirit ever since. As to the ancient argument, whether individuals shape events or are their register, there can be no doubt about the answer with regard to Lee Kuan Yew, a man of unmatched intelligence and judgment. By far the smallest country in Southeast Asia, Singapore seemed destined to become a client state of more powerful neighbors, if indeed it could preserve its independence at all. Lee thought otherwise. His vision was of a state that would not simply survive, but prevail by excelling. Superior intelligence, discipline, and ingenuity would substitute for resources. He summoned his compatriots to a duty that they had never previously perceived. First, to clean up their city, then to dedicate it to overcome the initial hostility of their neighbors and their own ethnic divisions by superior performance. The Singapore of today is his testament. When Lee took over, per capita income was about $400 a year. It is now more than $50,000. He inspired his polyglot population to become the intellectual and technical center of the Asia-Pacific. Because of his leadership, a medium-sized city has become a significant international and economic player, especially in fostering multilateral trans-Pacific ties. Along the way, Lee has made himself an indispensable friend of the United States, not primarily by the power he represents, but by the excellence of his thinking. His analysis is of such quality and depth that his counterparts consider meeting with him as a way to educate themselves. For three generations now, whenever Lee comes to Washington, he meets with an array of people spanning the top ranks of the American government and foreign policy community. His discussions occur in an atmosphere of rare candor, born of high regard and long-shared experience. Every American president who has dealt with him has benefited from the fact that, on international issues, he has identified the future of his country with the fate of the democracies. Furthermore, Lee can tell us about the nature of the world that we face, with especially penetrating insights into the thinking of his region. Lee's analyses shed light on the most important challenge that the United States confronts over the long term: how to build a fundamental and organic relationship with Asia, including China. There is nobody who can teach us more about the nature and the scope of this effort than Lee Kuan Yew. As this book demonstrates, however, his insights extend far beyond U.S.-China relations. They encompass virtually every challenge of international relations. It will not take long for readers to discover why Lee is not only one of the seminal leaders of our period, but also a thinker recognized for his singular strategic acumen. Henry A. Kissinger, New York, April 2012. Who is Lee Kuan Yew? A strategist's strategist. A leader's leader. A mentor's mentor. When Lee Kuan Yew talks, who listens? Presidents. Barack Obama, President of the United States. Lee is one of the legendary figures of Asia in the 20th and 21st centuries. He is somebody who helped to trigger the Asian economic miracle. October 29, 2009. Bill Clinton, 42nd President of the United States. Lee's life of public service is both unique and remarkable. His work as Prime Minister and now as Minister Mentor has helped literally millions of people in Singapore and all across Southeast Asia to live better, more prosperous lives. I hope the leaders of ASEAN, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, will continue to build upon Mr. Lee Kuan Yew's outstanding legacy. I thank you, the U.S. ASEAN Business Council, for honoring a man I admire so very much. October 27, 2009. George H.W. Bush, 41st President of the United States. In my long life in public service, I have encountered many bright, able people. None is more impressive than Lee Kuan Yew. Endorsement of Lee's My Lifelong Challenge, Singapore's Bilingual Journey, 2011. Jacques Chirac, President of France, 1995 to 2007. Lee Kuan Yew has gathered around himself the most brilliant minds, transforming the most exacting standards into a system of government. Under his leadership, the primacy of the general interest, the cult of education, work and saving, and the capacity to foresee the needs of the city have enabled Singapore to take what I call shortcuts to progress. Endorsement of Lee's From Third World to First, The Singapore Story, 1965 to 2000, 2000. F.W. de Klerk, President of South Africa, 1989 to 94. The leader who perhaps impressed me most was Lee Kuan Yew of Singapore. He was an individual who changed the course of history. Lee Kuan Yew took the right decisions for his country. He chose the right values and the right economic policies to ensure the development of a successful society. In this, he was an artist painting on the largest canvas that society can provide. He was also a very astute judge of the world, and provided a very canny and realistic assessment of our situation in South Africa when I met him during the early 90s. March 30, 2012. Chinese leaders. Xi Jinping, likely incoming president of China. Li is our senior who has our respect. To this day, you are still working tirelessly to advance our bilateral relationship, and you have my full admiration. We will never forget the important contribution you have made to our bilateral relationship. May 23, 2011. Other heads of state. Tony Blair, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, 1997 to 2007. Lee is the smartest leader I think I ever met. Blair, A Journey, My Political Life, 2010. John Major, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, 1990 to 97. Lee Kuan Yew can justifiably be called the father of modern Singapore. He has steered through policies that have been copied across Asia and have greatly lifted the profile and representation of Singapore. It is a legacy that will endure. Comment in Tom Plate's Conversations with Lee Kuan Yew, Citizen Singapore, How to Build a Nation, 2010. Margaret Thatcher, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, 1979 to 90. In office, I read and analyzed every speech of Lee's. He had a way of penetrating the fog of propaganda and expressing with unique clarity the issues of our times and the way to tackle them. He was never wrong. Endorsement of Lee's From Third World to First, The Singapore Story, 1965 to 2000, 2000. Helmut Schmidt, Chancellor of Germany, 1974 to 82. Ever since I met my friend Lee Kuan Yew, I was highly impressed by his brilliant intellect and his straight overview. His lifetime achievements as a political leader and statesman are outstanding. The economic and social advancement of modern Singapore is deeply rooted in his capability to establish an adequate political framework for Singapore's ethnical heterogeneity. This book is yet another proof of his perspicacity and competence. Endorsement of Lee's My Lifelong Challenge, Singapore's Bilingual Journey, 2011. Heads of Global Corporations and Economic Institutions. Rupert Murdoch, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of News Corporation. More than 40 years ago, Lee Kuan Yew transformed what was a poor, decrepit colony into a shining, rich, and modern metropolis, all the time surrounded by hostile powers. With his brilliant, incisive intellect, he is one of the world's most outspoken and respected statesmen. This book is a must-read for any student of modern Asia. Endorsement of Lee's From Third World to First, The Singapore Story, 1965 to 2000. 2000. John Chambers, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Cisco Systems. There are two equalizers in life, the Internet and education. Lee Kuan Yew is a world leader who understands this and is using the power of the Internet to position Singapore for survival and success in the Internet economy. Endorsement of Lee's From Third World to First, The Singapore Story, 1965 to 2000, 2000. Sam Palmisano, Chairman of IBM. It is terrific to be at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy. It is especially special for me because a gentleman I admire so much and have learned so much from is Minister Mentor Lee Kuan Yew. He has given me lots of tutelage on Asia and China and India and has tremendous insights. February 1, 2011. Rex Tillerson, Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer of ExxonMobil. For so many years, you, addressing Lee, have been a willing mentor to leaders of government, business, and for me personally. The Ford's Theatre Lincoln Medal is given to individuals who exemplify the lasting legacy and mettle of character embodied by President Abraham Lincoln. Few leaders in modern history meet these criteria more than tonight's honoree. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Towering genius disdains a beaten path." For the people of Singapore, Lee Kuan Yew was such a towering leader who held a bold vision for his nation. He did not lead them down the beaten path of narrow-minded protectionism, but down the broad avenues of global engagement and economic competitiveness. October 18, 2011. Robert Zoellick, President of the World Bank, 2007-12. As soon as I learned a number of years ago about the Lee Kuan Yew School, I wanted to figure out some way to at least come by. I cannot think of a better testament for a leader who has made a huge mark in the world. December 18, 2008. James Wolfensohn, President of the World Bank, 1995-2005. I used to be the advisor to the Minister Mentor. It was a very hard job because I traveled to Singapore, and every time I was just about to tell something to Mr. Minister Mentor, he would stop me and tell me the thing I was to tell him. Then I would return to the United States and sell his advice. "Thank you very much, Mr. Minister Mentor, for all the things you have taught me. I tried giving you my advice, but in fact it was you who taught me." July 10, 2007. Muhtar Kent, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Coca-Cola. History will record few leaders who have accomplished so much for their country and for Southeast Asia as His Excellency Lee Kuan Yew. As a driving force behind the growth and evolution of ASEAN, Mr. Lee also helped millions of people across Southeast Asia to live in an environment of peace and economic growth. October 27, 2009. David Rothkopf, President and Chief Executive Officer of Garton Rothkopf. Like many other visitors, you wonder whether this tiny island, Singapore, that did not even exist as a truly independent nation until 1965, is perhaps the best-run city in the world. Whether maybe the ancient Greeks and Singapore's founder, Lee Kuan Yew, were on to something when they settled on the idea of city-states. During the course of the half-century in which he has led Singapore, he has emerged as one of the world's most effective, if sometimes controversial, leaders. Rothkopf, Power, Incorporated, 2012. Senior Policymakers. Hillary Clinton, U.S. Secretary of State. I am delighted to welcome the Minister Mentor here to the White House today. Singapore is a long and valued partner on so many important issues. And I think it is fair to say, sir, addressing Lee, that you have a great many admirers. You are here to accept an important award, the U.S.-ASEAN Business Council's Lifetime Achievement Award, that is given for lifetime achievement, and I join in the many Americans who thank you for your service. October 26, 2009. George Shultz, U.S. Secretary of State, 1982-89. You, addressing Lee, have taught all of us a tremendous amount by what you have done, what you have said, and the way you mean it when you say something. And I thank you. October 27, 2009. Madeleine Albright, U.S. Secretary of State, 1997-2001. He has the most modern and most strategic view of anyone I have met for a long time. July 30, 1997. Zbigniew Brzezinski, U.S. National Security Advisor, 1977-81. He is among the most intellectually alert of the world's leaders. He is capable of expatiating at length and with perception on virtually any international problem. He is a most astute observer of the Asian scene, and he is candid in passing along to us Asian perceptions of our changing role in that part of the world. September 16, 1977. Larry Summers, Director of the U.S. National Economic Council, 2009-10, and U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, 1999-2001. It is more than a little bit daunting to be talking about the subject of governance just before Lee Kuan Yew speaks. September 15, 2006. Robert Rubin, U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, 1995-99. Lee is deeply knowledgeable about geopolitical and cultural matters. I had gotten to know the senior minister somewhat during the Asian financial crisis, when he had demonstrated the enormous depth of his geopolitical understanding and grasp of regional issues. Rubin, in an uncertain world, tough choices from Wall Street to Washington, with Jacob Weisberg, 2003. Joseph Nye, Chairman of the U.S. National Intelligence Council, 1993-94. Today, it, Singapore, is a rich and prosperous country. If the rest of the world could accomplish what Singapore has accomplished, the world would be a better and more prosperous place. He is a man who never stops thinking, never stops looking ahead with larger visions. His views are sought by respected senior statesmen on all continents. October 17, 2000. Commentators. Nicholas Kristof, opinion columnist for the New York Times. Other leaders have reshaped nations. Kemal Ataturk in Turkey, Lenin in Russia, Deng Xiaoping in China. But no one left a deeper imprint on his people than Lee. One can disagree with him, but intolerance and authoritarianism have never had so articulate or stimulating a spokesman. These, from third world to first, are rich memoirs, the legacy of an extraordinary man, and in many ways, this book is like Lee himself, smart, thoughtful, blunt, and provocative. November 5, 2000. David Ignatius, opinion columnist for The Washington Post. He is probably the smartest politician I have interviewed in more than 25 years as a journalist. September 28, 2002. Fareed Zakaria, editor-at-large of Time. Lee Kuan Yew took a small spit of land in Southeast Asia, which became independent in 1965 after great struggle and anguish, with no resources and a polyglot population of Chinese, Malaysian, and Indian workers, and turned it into one of the economic centers of the world. To do this, Lee had to have smart economic policies, but also a shrewd foreign policy. He is still indisputably the father of Singapore. I was struck by the depth of his understanding of the world, China, Russia, and the United States, all at age 85. September 21st, 2008. Preface. Lee Kuan Yew is unique among statesmen of the past half century. The founding father and dominant figure in Singapore for more than five decades, he took a poor, corrupt city-state and built a modern nation whose citizens now have incomes higher than those of most Americans. Not only as a thinker, but also as a primary actor, he knows about transformation. In international affairs, no individual has been more eagerly sought out, more regularly consulted, and more carefully listened to by a generation of American, Chinese, and other world leaders than the Sage of Singapore. From Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger when they were designing the opening to China in 1971-72, to every occupant of the White House since, American presidents, including Barack Obama, have gone out of their way to stop in Singapore and have welcomed Lee to the Oval Office when he visits the United States. From Deng Xiaoping, when he first began contemplating a radical march to a market-based economy that would ignite three decades of double-digit growth, to Hu Jintao and the likely incoming president Xi Jinping, Lee has been their most influential counselor outside of China. Beyond the great powers, smaller states such as Israel, whose survival depends on being alert to trends beyond their borders, have found in Lee a source of insight and inspiration. From Kazakhstan's Nursultan Nazarbayev, when he found himself the leader of a newly independent country that had never existed, to the United Arab Emirates' Sheikh Khalifa bin Zayed, to Rwanda's Paul Kagame, and scores of others, leaders with great challenges have found in Lee strategic coordinates that help them navigate their international challenges. The purpose of this slim volume is not to look back on the past 50 years, remarkable as Lee's contributions to them have been. Rather, our focus is the future and the specific challenges that the United States will face during the next quarter century. We have tried to imagine the questions that the individual who takes the presidential oath of office on January 20, 2013 would find of most immediate interest, and then to summarize Lee's most direct responses in his own words. We are confident that these answers will be of value not only to those shaping American foreign policy, but also to leaders of businesses and civil society in the United States, who are making investments of scarce dollars and even scarcer time based on their expectations about significant trends in the wider world. We are grateful to Anthony Tan and Yung Yun Ying for facilitating our interviews with Lee. The 10 chapters that follow begin with the rise of China, the issue about which Lee undoubtedly knows more than any other outside observer or analyst. Will China challenge America's position as the leading power in Asia and, in time, the world? Most policymakers and pundits answer this central question with a combination of fog and abstractions. Cutting through that cant and caution, Lee answers, "Of course. Their reawakened sense of destiny is an overpowering force. It is China's intention to be the greatest power in the world and to be accepted as China, not as an honorary member of the West." We then ask about the United States and the U.S.-China relationship that will shape international politics in the 21st century. Between these two great powers, Lee sees confrontation. There will be a struggle for influence. Competition between them is inevitable. But contrary to pessimistic realists, he does not judge conflict inevitable if leaders of both nations exercise reasonable judgment. Successive chapters address India, Islamic extremism, geopolitics and globalization, and democracy, among other topics. Each chapter starts with key questions, and then offers a succinct summary of Lee's answers. Many of those answers have an edge, since he has congenitally pushed back against political correctness and never shrunk from controversy. As authors and architects of this book, we have resisted the temptation to comment or offer our own views, mindful that presidents and their closest advisors will most benefit from Lee's counsel, not ours. We have extracted Lee's key insights and central arguments so that they can be scanned quickly. Make no mistake, we believe that every word on every page that follows deserves to be read, but readers can make that judgment for themselves. We suspect that those hoping to make a quick dash through the book will find themselves spending more time than they expected, compelled by Lee's words to pause and think about assertions of his that they find surprising, even disturbing, but invariably illuminating. The opportunity to spend many hours listening to Lee and poring over his voluminous writings, interviews, and speeches has been more fulfilling than we could have ever expected. If we can offer readers a taste of that banquet, we will have fulfilled our aspirations.